It's Jim Daniels.
Thanks for making us a part of your day. Appreciate that. NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com. The show is brought to you by Grainger, serving you with products that you need to help keep your facility running. Call, click, or stop by today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. And again, thanks for being with us. This is Speaking of Sports. I'm your host, Jim Daniels, where we like to kick the box score aside just a little bit. Take a slightly deeper look at some of the individuals and stories that are making news in the world of sports, and not the least of which is buzzing, trending, whatever you want to call this one, late, at least for the East. I think around 8 p.m. Eastern last night, Mike Florio posted a story on Pro Football Talk citing that word out of Denver is that Peyton Manning is ready to hang him up. As a matter of fact, a well-known Denver reporter, Woody Page, is a guy that sports fans know for a lot of reasons. He's a guy that's been around for a long time, has covered the Denver sports scene for many, many years. But he's also on ESPN's show Around the Horn, where they have writers on and they debate topics. If you're aware of that show or not aware of that show, you may know what Woody's work is. But you know that Woody is pretty plugged in. If Woody Page is going on record as saying that he's going to go ahead and print in the Denver Post that Peyton Manning is done because his sources say that's what it's going to be, you know what, that's a pretty good source, and the fact that he's running with it means that we probably ought to run with it too. And that's why exactly you get it from me this morning. Peyton Manning looking like he's going to be done. I can't imagine coming back. There's nothing to come back for. This is what you wanted to come back for the next surgery. That's what it was about, was to get right, get healthy, because you still had something in the tank and you still had something to prove. You don't have anything to prove anymore. The fact is that you came back from the neck surgeries, you went to another team, you survived all of the problems, the physical challenges, the mental challenges, the actual games themselves, and you got it done all the way to Super Bowl victory. And I'm going to put a ring on your finger for that. You know what? You walk off and say thank you very much. Not go to the Rams and stumble around in a Rams uniform. Good grief. You're not Joe Namath, right? So there you go. So the start with that news, and I've got all kinds of NFL news for you this morning on Speaking of Sports. The NFL is staying in the headlines here, and it's all about the Cowboys, but it's probably not what you think. Tony Romo is set to take on the NFL. He's upset that the NFL improperly shut down a fantasy football convention in Las Vegas over concerns that the event was being held on the property owned by a casino. Meanwhile, the NFL is currently allowing the Raiders to absolutely flirt with the same owner, the same casino, regarding the possibility of building a stadium in Las Vegas. What? Now, per a source with knowledge of the situation, the two sides are headed to court on Monday for a hearing in the NFL's motion for summary judgment. Now, the source says that Romo's venture, the National Fantasy Football Convention, plans to amend its lawsuit to state additional specific claims against the NFL. It gets better. The NFFC's lawyers hope to question Roger Goodell under oath, under the theory that he has the final say on matters relating to gambling. So far, the NFL has produced only Executive Vice President Adolfo Birch for questioning, and the league is resisting the request to get Commissioner Goodell in there. Yeah, they would like to get Roger in there. You know, it's like every time you turn around, he's handling something poorly. Here you go once again. You're talking out of both sides of your mouth. It's okay for one. It's not okay for the other. And this is the players. This is Tony Romo and the players seeing the value of fantasy football and trying to cash in on it. I mean, you heard plenty of NFL players over the last year that's like, hey, all this DraftKings stuff, how do we get a piece of that money? All these people are making billions off of us. We want a piece of that. Well, Tony Romo headed to court, see if he can't get a piece of some fantasy football money. And, oh, by the way, Rob Gronkowski will probably be named in the courtroom. What? That's right. The Gronk had his recent booze cruise not too long ago, and PFT obtained a copy of the second amended petition to be filed on Monday in a Texas court, and it specifically mentions Gronk's floating party on the high seas. Matter of fact, paragraph 47 states NFL player Rob Gronkowski hosted a party cruise from Miami to the Bahamas on February 19 through 22. The four-day party took place on Norwegian Cruise Line, where Gronkowski's fans and attendees can take full advantage of Norwegian's famed casino at sea. Can you say double standard, Roger? I don't know if you can utter those words, but they may come out of somebody's mouth. And real soon, Salary cap. We talked a lot about this. We've heard about it. And you've got a new one for 2016 for the National Football League. $155 million per team. A league source tells our folks over at PFT that the salary cap is set at $155.270 per team. The NFL and the NFLPA both agreed on that. That's a bump of around $12 million from last year's cap number of $143.3 million, not including the cap space left over by the teams, which would be applied from the carryover year. So $155 million. Another $12 million a year you could spend on your football team now. Speaking of football, staying with football, DeMarco Murray apparently is still unhappy. We knew that he was unhappy playing with Chip Kelly in that decision. However, that's gone. And despite Chip Kelly being fired and moving on to Doug Peterson replacing him, apparently DeMarco Murray still isn't happy. Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network is saying that there may be a trade possibility, although, boy, they owe him a lot of money. Ian Rappaport's tweet said DeMarco Murray's affinity for Dallas is evident. Well, we knew that. But so is his $13 million cap hit for the Eagles. A lot to work out there. Every team knows his situation is unsettled there in Philadelphia. That's a big number. But you know what? I still think this is a young enough guy that he could be worth the money. DeMarco Murray, maybe headed back to Dallas? Could it happen? I said earlier, maybe a trade for Greg Hardy. I don't know if you're going to get that to happen or not. This is football, but it's not the pros, but it's a story that I wanted to share with you this morning. Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh apparently will do anything, just like a used car dealer, to get his recruits, including wrestling one of them. Brandon Justice tweeted, this is a 2017 defensive tackle, from Michigan, recruit said that Philip P. just told me that he and Michigan's head coach, Jim Harbaugh, had a wrestling match during his visit to the campus. What? I love me some Jim Harbaugh. I got to say, I love this guy's approach, and I love him at the college level much better than the pro level. I mean, he was seemed like he was an angry guy a lot in the pros. Not that he's calmed down any in college, but seems like he's having a little bit more fun. Seems like he's a good fit there, too. Now, in the NBA last night, Steph Curry just went absolutely crazy and broke all kinds of records. He set a new Golden State record. He set a league record. And, oh, by the way, propelled his team, the Golden State Warriors, to the earliest clinch in NBA history. Yeah, they've clinched the playoffs, and we're in February. And a lot of it has to do with the three-point shooting. 12 of 16 from three-point land last night. 46 points is what he winds up with. Now, I'm bringing that up because I normally don't talk too much about the box score and what happened in last night's game, but I'm bringing that up because the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, Mark Cuban, thinks that the NBA should consider moving that three-point line back. Now, there's a problem initially with this in that you can only go so far on the sidelines. I think there's just barely enough room for their feet over there as it is. When you think about the corner of an NBA three, you can't go back another foot and a half. There'd be no place to stand. You have to be up on your toes. I suppose you could curve it a little bit and make it a little bit closer, but then it's not a 25-footer there. Nonetheless, on average, the NBA is shooting about 35% from three-point land. That's obviously better than it used to be. It hasn't always been that way, but Mark Cuban says the NBA should consider moving the three-point line back to open up the court more. He thinks it would also encourage players to develop more of a mid-range game. I don't know. Mark Cuban has always got an idea on things that we need to do to improve the game. We're always ready to listen to him. We're just not ready to act on too many things that he comes up with just yet. All right, coming up next in the program, we have tons for you today. As a matter of fact, a really interesting guy that we're going to have on the program today, Jeremiah Cool, is going to talk to us about something that veterans may be very, very interested in. We'll share that conversation with you. Also, we have the professor, Rick Horrell, to talk to, and he's coming up next. It's NBC Sports Radio at NBCSportsRadio.com.
NBC Sports Radio is online and on demand. Download the app or hit us on the web anywhere, anytime. Back with more next. Hey, wake up.
Oh, sorry. Must have zoned out.
We're back, and it's time to get your game on. So bring it or go home crying. We are NBC Sports Radio, and our game never stops.
It's NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com. Thanks for being with us. This is Speaking of Sports. I'm your host, Jim Daniels, here every Sunday morning at this time to take a slightly different look at the sports world, shove the box score aside, and look at some of the stories and individuals that are making news in the sports world and other things making news in the sports world, too. Right now, we turn to the professor. We get the opportunity to talk the business, the deal-making, the endorsements, the big-time dollars of sports with the professor, Rick Horro, who talks to us every Sunday. Good morning, sir. How are you?
What an opportunity it is. I am going to the Honda Classic today, part of that committee, and Sergio and Adam Scott and Ricky Fowler make us forget Tiger Woods, at least for a while.
At least for a minute, yeah. It looks like this could be a two-man battle. These guys will be paired together. It should be fun going down the stretch. Ricky Fowler is going to be there. We'll talk some PGA. It's in the Horro Sports Brief here this morning. I want to get to that in just a second, but I guess the question this week is, where's Jordan Spieth?
Yeah, well, it was always planned that he wouldn't do this tournament, and it's hard to know why, especially since the WGC tournament in Miami just down the road next week. I guess we should call it the Trump, but then we'd lose some support. We'll get into another discussion. So I won't do that. But, you know, the bottom line of all of this is this was pre-planned. A lot of people are now seeing him as the savior of various tournaments. So when he comes, there is a 15% bump, seriously, that 20 maybe. And frankly, if he comes to defend, it's even higher. And he can't go everywhere, I guess, is the answer.
Right. As far as the scores go, Sergio and Adam Scott at 9 under par. A little bit surprising to see Rory McIlroy at plus 4 and nowhere in the hunt in this tournament. But that's more the business of the scores. Let's talk to the business of sports. And while Steph Curry is playing at an unbelievable level again last night, 46 points, I mean, he's just absolutely amazing. He says that he is quick to admit that he looks up to LeBron James. Why is that, Rick?
Well, because LeBron has a more established business foundation right now. Doesn't mean he will be all over time. LRMR Marketing, the company that, you know, he jettisoned Johnny Manziel. It was All Things Cleveland, and now LeBron, obviously an international corporation, Nike, Kia, all of those big deals. And Steph Curry has bread and water, and his Under Armour equity deal is wonderful for him. He's such a great deodorant. I'll tell you, if he keeps hitting those threes at that prolific level and goes back-to-back MVPs, he'll be up there. But the bottom line is both of them are doing really well. Let's not hold a bake sale for either one of those guys.
Yeah, probably not anytime soon. Now, you mentioned you're going to the Honda Classic a little bit later on today, the PGA Tour's first stop in the Florida swing. We're all done with the West Coast swing. But they've got a pretty impressive economic and charitable impact that has some pretty staggering numbers behind it, doesn't it?
Yeah, they lead with those numbers, which is really important. So, you know, nearly $14 million total in charity in the last few years. They raised $2.5 million for charity this year. Jack Nicklaus Family Children's Charities. He lives, you know, 10 minutes down the road here, and that $50 million of economic impact. Most important, this is one of those tournaments that brings the region together. South Florida, as you know, Miami, Lauderdale, Palm Beach. They kind of don't talk to each other, and you see it at major events. The Super Bowl bid is one that brings them together. This is another one. And it wasn't a dead tournament that had no momentum. And generally, kudos to him, the director, Tiger, started getting involved in it, still is now in it. And now it's a must-attend on the way down to the Doral tournament next week.
Rick Horro talks the business of sports with us every Sunday here on Speaking of Sports. Let's go to Sports Illustrated now. Wow, offering a virtual reality content of its annual swimsuit edition. Is this finally what we've been looking for our whole lives, Rick? That's the swimsuit edition is finally going to come to life?
Speak for yourself. There may be some people listening that I don't want to listen to my comments, but I think we understand what we're saying. The one big thing about the swimsuit issue that may even get bigger is doing a virtual reality shoot of the swimsuit issue and then distributing it. The Sports Illustrated content guys are saying we're going to do this now on a regular basis, and they wanted to pick a topic that would maximize distribution. So what do? You pick the swimsuit issue. That's brilliant.
Now let's talk a little baseball here, because the Red Sox are doing something interesting. They're ditching the rest of baseball to create their own secondary ticketing platform, meaning StubHub, you're on your own. So I guess that means if you want a Red Sox ticket, you're not going to be able to go to StubHub. But the thing that I'm wondering here is, are they going to lead the way for other teams, to where other teams are going to take care of their own secondary market because there's money to be made there?
Well, there's money to be made there. It's a brilliant marketing pitch. You can opt out. That's what baseball allowed, so it's not an issue there. But what they're doing, by the way, is they're charging normal 10% off the top for StubHub. That's part of the deal. But in this deal, 15% if you're not a season ticket holder, but 5% if you are. So what it is an acknowledgement by the Red Sox that they have a strong 25,000-person season ticket base that can't go to every game because they're regional. A lot of their fans live in Rhode Island and New Hampshire, et cetera. So they're giving them the benefit of a discount rate by their own in-house service. It's brilliant.
You know what? I don't know if this is brilliant or not, but I love the idea in a really fun effort to try and increase season ticket sales, not to mention improve the fan experience. The Texas Rangers are giving season ticket holders a chance to get their season tickets for free, as high as $10,000 worth, by simply hitting a home run at Globe Life Park. I think this is something you need to go on a road trip here and do some investigating and just see how difficult it is to hit that home run.
Well, one guy already did it. $8,500 was his take on the deal. And it's random picks from season ticket holders to show up and do it. So it precludes ringers like you from going there and winning and, you know, giving it to a season ticket friend.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows people who really can't hit a curveball like me to go up there, try the experience, but yet they don't give it away. It's a brilliant
move. I think it screams road trip for Rick Horrell, though. I mean, this is an investigative story we need to know more about.
And my standard offer to you is, any trip that I'm on, you carry my bag, you get to show it.
All right, we talked a little bit about golf already, but two of the biggest names in the world of golf are setting up to square off in a celebrity golf match leading up to this year's U.S. Open. And apparently, it's not the two that you would think. Well, it's one that you would think, Rory McIlroy, but the other one is Ricky Fowler.
Yeah, and Ricky Fowler, listen, he's becoming more corporate. He's the next big guy. Now that Luke Donald isn't doing it, to maybe win a major that gets him into the new status.
Right.
And if you remember the old Phil's Wonderful World of Golf and all those match play deals, Tiger had a few last decade. And these are made-for-TV events. It's very difficult to put them on because you've got to pay for the lighting. And the crowds aren't that big, but TV pays that nut. You got to recover it. But these two guys may have a shot at being the rival, certainly the big three now with Jason Day and Jordan Spieth. And if Ricky wins a major, then he's there. And, of course, you know, Phil is one of those that also is a candidate mm-hmm. for this kind of event. So you may see these one-on-one events coming back.
All right, let's get to the ugly in the wake of global corruption. There's been surrounded by all kinds of ugliness and accusations and people being arrested. FIFA President Sepp Blatter is being asked for more transparency by media executives. I guess I should say the former president,
yeah.
Sepp Blatter, is being asked for that. But look at, I mean, how much transparency can you have? You can see that it's crooked. You can see that it's wrong. And they still continue to move forward to go to a city where they use slave labor to put on their event. I can't believe that this is allowed to happen.
Well, transparency coupled with doing something about it. So Gianni
Thanks.
Infantino
right.
has said the right thing. Let's see if he follows up with it. Now there'll be term limits and financial disclosures of salaries as well, and a professional executive board. All those three are things you do when you really want to change things. So you won. Let's see what happens. And by the way, the big deal now is the Europeans will control the future of the politics of this. So, Cutter,
okay.
We'll have to see what happens.
Seconds left. Your favorite sports movie of all time?
Revenant.
What?
What?
The Revenant. What sport is that?
What? Rick, that, my friend.
Rick Oro, thanks very much.
The natural.
It's mine too. Good one. Good. The Revenant. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, buddy. That's great
right,
stuff.
Man.
There goes the professor on NBC Sports Radio.
You're listening to NBC Sports Radio, Weekends. This is Speaking of Sports with Jim Daniels on NBC Sports Radio, where every day is game day. And now, it's Jim Daniels.
Thanks for joining us, making us a part of your day. Appreciate that. NBC Sports Radio, NBCSportsRadio.com. Got a great mobile app for you, free at the Google Play Store if you want to get that. We can even have the show sent right to your email inbox. Got a wonderful podcasting platform going on. Lots of ways for you to get what we've got here at NBC Sports Radio. Record-setting night in the NBA last night, especially for Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors, who have already clinched a playoff spot, and we're still in February. Wow. More on that as we head your way. Professional sports and the American military have long history together. Many great players have served in all branches of the military. There's Ted Williams, Rocky Marciano, Roger Staubach, Willie Mays, Pat Tillman, David Robinson. That's just to name a few. We pay tribute to our warrior protectors at most of our sporting events, large and small. But do we do, as a society, enough for those who handle the toughest of all the jobs? Today, we're going to hear about a program from a nationally known business that will be terrific news for many of our veterans. You're also going to hear about a four-legged hero named Waco as a bonus. Jeremiah Cool is a 13-year veteran in the U.S. Army and National Guard. He served as a military police officer as well as a multiple-launch rocket systems repair tech. He served on four separate deployments across Iraq and Afghanistan from 2002 to 2011. He joins us now to talk about the Mission to Hire program from Service King. Jeremiah, thanks for joining us on NBC Sports Radio.
Hey, thank you. It's good to be talking to you.
Good to have you with us here this morning. For starters, you spent 10 years deployed overseas. Can anything prepare you for what you will experience when you are transported from living here in the beautiful U.S. of A. to a foreign country where people are shooting at you and trying to kill you most of the time?
Well, nothing will prepare you for it. It's just, I guess the military trains you on quick thinking and adapting to your environment really quick. So that's pretty much the only thing you can expect, is everything's going to be turned upside down. But with all the proper training, you're definitely in the right hands.
And that's what it's about, the proper training from the military. Now, during your service, you attended a specialized search dog school. That was in San Antonio, Texas. So you could become a canine handler trained in handling dogs that detect explosives. Now, you met a dog named Waco, who not only became your partner, but he detected more than 50 IEDs alongside U.S. Special Forces there in Afghanistan. Tell us about your furry friend Waco, would you?
Well, me and him, basically, we clicked from the get-go. As soon as I met him, the rapport was automatically there. It's like kind of like love at first sight. And from that point, everything just, nothing can stop us. And I was happy to deploy with him. I knew that I was protected. He knew that he was being well taken care of. And ultimately, you know, we saved a few lives, and we found some bad stuff overseas, and it's good to be back now.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, your relationship with Waco, though, tell me, what was that relationship like? Was it like a business relationship where you would go to work every day and you would, like, check your dog out and you'd go out and then bring him back and check him back in? Or were you guys hanging out all the time or what?
Day-to-day basis, well, when I'm a garrison, you know, he gets put up into the kennel at night when I'm done training, but when I show up the next day for work, you know, I pull him out and I play with him, I work with him, I play fetch with him, and I feed him and everything. But when we're deployed, that's where it really becomes more of a 24/7 type gig. You know, I'm working with him day and night. You know, he's sleeping with me in the same room as I am, and we do everything together. You know, everything from eating to going on missions together. It's 24/7 when it's deployed. So
cool to know that he is still with you, too, now that you guys are both retired from the military. But you attended the UTI Institute in Houston. That was early in 2015. You were hired as part of Service King's Mission to Hire initiative. Now, this is a bold program that seeks to provide the nearly 500,000 unemployed U.S. military veterans viable, hands-on, and lucrative career opportunities in fields that match the skill sets that they gained while they were in the military. That's super. Service King is a national provider of a high-quality collision repair service with more than 290 repair centers in 23 states across the country, meaning that they are in a position to help a lot of people nationwide, and they've got a plan, too. Jeremiah, tell us about Mission to Hire.
Well, Mission to Hire is basically what we're doing is we're providing an asset for veterans, because a lot of times us veterans, we become lost in the civilian world, because there's so much going on. It's not like the military where, you know, we have our direct lines and we know exactly who they are. When you become in the civilian world, everything is kind of screwy a little bit. It goes left, it goes right, up and down. You don't know which way is straight anymore. What Service King is doing with the Mission to Hire program is that they're providing them the resources and the opportunity to put their military career to use, and you know, to find their next home, to find their next chain of command, to find their next support channel that's going to help them regardless, and they're going to be there for them. They're going to train them just like the military trains, you know, and they're going to provide them with resources just like the military does. It's like a second home compared to the military. Mm-hmm. It's truly one of a kind. It definitely is going to help a lot of veterans.
Jeremiah, tell us what it means, especially for veterans, to have a company that is so devoted to giving back to the servicemen and women of this country. I mean, this is what having someone's back is all about, isn't it?
Oh, it truly is. Absolutely. I was out in the civilian world for a little bit, and I was lost myself. And Service King came around, and they offered this to me. And since they offered this to me, it's been a dream come true. You know, everything has stepped up the way it should, the way that I pictured everything should in my mind. Getting out of the military, having all this experience, now I can actually finally put it to good use. I can actually, you know, use the skill set that I developed for 13 years in the military, and I can actually apply it now. And that's what servicing does, is they, you know, they kind of promote the skills that you have, and they help you exhaust them. They help you, you know, use them on a day-to-day basis, and using them, it's bar none the best job I've ever had in my entire life.
Well, you know, it's tremendous what they're doing, and now as a Service King national spokesman, military veterans and spouses interested in careers at Service King are encouraged to visit where?
Everyone can go to missiontohire.careers, and they can certainly go onto that website. They can find all kinds of information interested in careers. So you can go onto that website, check it out. They got a few questions on there. They can ask and put you in the right direction. Anywhere from IT department to service advisors to body techs. You know, they're here to help out the military veterans and spouses. So.
Getting people working, that's what it's all about. Jeremiah Kula, it was terrific to have you on the program today. Thank you for your time today and your service. Best of luck to you.
Thank you so much. You too.
Jeremiah Kula, missiontohire.careers. If you got a vet that wants to know more about that, that is pretty solid stuff from Service King and their Mission to Hire initiative. Man, is that great, great stuff for returning veterans. Honestly, really, for anybody, come on, to be matched with the skills that you have, who doesn't want that? I mean, how many college students get out of college and then go to work doing something that has nothing to do with what you went to school for? So this is really solid stuff. A tip of the cap to our friends at Service King for the Mission to Hire initiative. And our thanks to Jeremy Kula for being with us in the program today. All right, coming up next, we're going to rattle Pete Fox's chain and see what happens. It's NBC Sports Radio and NBC Sports Radio's mobile app.
NBC Sports Radio. Download the app or hit us online. Either way, we're everywhere. Stay tuned. More coming at you next. Think you got something to say? Tweet us at NBC Sports Radio. Hashtag get it done. Or email your questions and comments to the Granger Get It Done inbox. Get it done. Get it done. At NBCSportsRadio.com. Get connected to NBC Sports Radio, because every day is game day.
Yeah, Sunday's our favorite game day, as a matter of fact. End of the week, and all kinds of things come to an end. Like an interesting round of golf for the PGA pros today, the Honda Classic. That one's coming up. Good morning, NBC Sports Radio, NBCSportsRadio.com. I'm Jim Daniels here doing Speaking of Sports in the Update Studio. Pete Fox, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Steph Curry, that guy's pretty good, huh?
Yeah, not bad. He's a golfer, too. Have you seen his They did an interview, I guess, on the Golf Channel, and Draymond Green. So they say they talk more about basketball than they – I'm sorry, they talk more about golf than they do about basketball. Basketball's so easy for them.
Well, they got that part figured out, right?
Right, yeah.
So now where do we stand on our feelings as far as these guys breaking the Bulls record right now? I mean, I've gone from thinking, nah, you know what, too much of an obstacle, too many other things to, wow, what's going to stop them?
I've been saying 74-8 for about a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really looks like it. I mean, even this game last night where they got down early, and they have a tendency to do that, but got down early and managed to claw their way back and force overtime and get the win. I mean, I know it's a buzzer beater, and that can go either way, but you know what? It's always seemed to be going their way.
Yeah, it does. And the thing that you can't help but notice is that it feels like, and they've talked about this a fair amount, that they really want that record. They're not one of these teams like a Greg Popovich team where they're like, well, whatever, if we don't win this one, it's no big deal. We're still in the playoffs. They are a team that wants all of that stuff, and they're playing hard even when they don't necessarily need to. As you mentioned, they have already clinched. So I feel like Steve Kerr is going to keep pushing them, and they're going to accept it and enjoy it.
As he should, because as I have said before, if these guys were to finish 74-8, what message does that send to any team that is entering into the playoffs against them? These guys lost 8 games all season long, and now you're going to try and take 4 out of 7 from them in a couple of weeks? Good luck with that.
Seems like an uphill climb, I guess, but the playoffs is a different season. But
very true.
Yeah, you really do point out an interesting fact there. If they only lost 8 all season, how are you going to beat 4? It just seems unfair to everyone else. But, you know, you still have to play the games. They don't play them on paper. They play them on the floor.
That's right. The three-point line is 23 feet and 9 inches, and that's not far enough for Mark Cuban. As a matter of fact, there's lots of people that are upset with the three-point ball, saying that it's ruining the game, depending on who you talk to. A lot of people think it's pretty entertaining. I think Warriors fans think it's pretty doggone entertaining. But Mark Cuban has the idea of moving it back 1.5 feet. What do you think about moving the three-point line back to 25 feet?
Well, I never thought about it, but you just brought it up that if you move it back on the sideline, it's going to be there's not going to be enough room to put your foot there, especially if you have a 12 or a 16 like most of these NBA guys do. That you'd have to make the top of the key and the wing deeper and keep the sides the same, I guess, or you make the court bigger. What about raising the hoop? You want that too?
Yeah, no, I don't want to see him do any of that stuff. The only rule that I want to see him mess with is that, you know, hack a whoever, you know, that deliberate, you know, fouling thing that stops the game and kills the momentum. And, you know, people say, oh, just make your free throws. No, I think that's something that needs to be addressed.
Yeah,
and
totally
Adam Silver
agree.
Is saying that he's coming around on that, because a year ago he said, no, I really don't think so. And this year he's saying, well, yeah, maybe we'll look at that after all. So possibly there's a chance that they get that one right. You know,
hey,
March.
Did you hear that rule real quick? Sure. I stumbled into this about a few weeks ago. That a long time ago in the NBA, they used to do something where for intentional fouls like that, they would put them in escrow, and then you would take, you know, do the math, and whoever had the most, they would shoot those free throws as opposed to going back and forth. So they would just kind of cancel each other out, and it wouldn't ruin the game. And I thought that it was really an interesting way of looking at it. Again, they did this in the NBA, you know, in the 40s or the 50s,
right.
But, you know, it could potentially help that whole issue go away.
Believe it or not, that's before me, so I actually don't remember the games going down like that. Let me ask you this. March Madness is coming up. We're only a couple of weeks away from that. And one of the things that's talked about this time of year is the perfect bracket thing. And you hear people go out and they're like, oh, $1 million for a perfect bracket. Wasn't it Warren Buffett, you know, for like $1 million or even more for a perfect bracket? You want to know why he's offering up, or anybody offers up, that kind of money for a perfect bracket? You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Things that are more likely to happen than the perfect bracket: Steph Curry making 414 free throws in a row. Oh, by the way, the NBA record is 97. Tom Brady completing 96 passes in a row. NFL record, 25. Nolan Ryan striking out 31 batters in a row. MLB record, 10. And my favorite, your football team, whoever it is, winning the next 13 Super Bowls. Those are the same odds of getting a perfect bracket. Wow. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I can. It seems impossible to get the perfect bracket. There are probably a ton of things that you would think you could do before that, but
right.
I don't think it's true. I don't think it's possible.
Selection Sunday will be 2 weeks from today, and then the first round The big dance, as we like to call it, is March 15 and 16 is when we get underway for March Madness. So that's getting close, too.
We'll wait to see if Ben Simmons gets his LSU Tigers in. That's the thing I think is probably the most interesting.
Right now, for sure, right? Now, it is also Oscar night in Hollywood tonight. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this because we've been talking a little bit about sports movies. Played some clips here this morning. Do you have a favorite sports film? Anything that really stands out as now that's a great sports movie?
Well, you know, as far as my favorite sports movie, the one that probably just jumps to mind is Bull Durham. Because that's one that I can watch over and over and over again. And a second would be Tin Cup. I like the Ron Shelton vibe. I like Kevin Costner. Mm-hmm. Those to me are probably my two favorites that I could watch at any time. And, you know, quotes pop out of my mouth on random occasions here and there. But
right.
Just the gut reaction, those are my two favorites. I don't know that they're award winners, but they're my favorites.
I watched Varsity Blues back in the day with one of my daughters. And I thought, wow, you know what? That was a really good sports movie. I like that. And there's really a ton of sports movies, more than I want to give them credit for. White Man Can't Jump was funny. Woody Harrelson, Wesley Snipes. I mean, I don't care. That was an 80s movie, and it's funny. There's 9 different Rocky movies, and I know that. You know, a lot of those are very popular. Bushka was in here talking about North Dallas 40 being his favorite. That doesn't surprise me. There's Raging Bull. There's films like that. The Natural, I think, is one of my favorite films of all time. And, you know, then there's stuff like The Longest Yard, Burt Reynolds, right? Mm-hmm. Then there's that kind of stuff. There's lots of...
What about Adam Sandler's Longest Yard?
Right, he did that too. And then there's Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Does Karate Kid, does that qualify as a sports movie?
Sure. Does Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby?
I think it does.
That just happened. That's one of my favorites. Anything Will Ferrell,
boy.
I'm in.
Yeah, you know what? That's pretty funny
what
stuff.
What about Semi Pro?
Yeah, okay. What about Slapshot?
Yeah, yeah.
I love Slapshot. I mean, I'm a Paul Newman fan, but I mean, that movie was just weird and quirky and loved it. But you know what hasn't come up? Nobody's mentioned Space Jam. Is that a sports movie?
Sure, a sports cartoon.
Or a cartoon, yeah, there you go. Thanks, Pete. Appreciate
Thank
it,
you.
Bud. Always enjoy this part of my Speaking of Sports when I get to chat with Pete Fox. That's going to do it for the program today. Thanks for being with us. Coop is next on many of these NBC Sports radio stations.